Well, they say that people are happy with change so long as it doesn't make any difference. And I'm sure that's pretty true. Well, Jeremiah lived in a time of momentous change. But what do we know about Jeremiah and the times in which he lived? Well, a number of factual things just at the beginning as we get into this, because we do have to set the context. He lived a long time ago. He lived in the 7th century before the time of Jesus Christ in the land of Judah. He was part of a religious, indeed a priestly family in a place not too far away from Jerusalem. And if you look quite closely at that, if you can see it, you may be able to make out you've got the Dead Sea on the one side and the River Jordan, and then you might see Jerusalem, and just above it, and there's a little line hopefully going to it, a place called Anathoth. And that is where Jeremiah was from. At this particular time, the king of Judah was a man called Josiah, and he had become king in the year 640 BC, amazingly, at the age of 8 years of age, he was appointed king. You can read all about this background reading 2 Kings chapter 22 and 23. And we're told here at the beginning of Jeremiah, we're told in verse 2 that the word of the Lord came to him in the 13th year of the reign of Josiah. So Josiah had been reigning for 13 years, and you can do the sums. And in that year, a word comes to Jeremiah, the word of the Lord. Now, again, just a couple of other things. We're told this in the Bible. Judah's last 5 kings, well, you can see them listed there. Don't worry about the small writing. The first one was Josiah. He reigned for 31 years. The second one was Jehoahaz. He only reigned for 3 months. The third one was Jehoiakim. He reigned for 11 years. The fourth one was Jehoiachin. He reigned for 3 months. And the last one was Zedekiah. When we were at college, somebody said the way to remember the Jehoahaz, Jehoiakim, Jehoiachin is in the following way: Has Kim a chin. So I think it helps, actually. It's one of those things that helps you to remember. So what I'm saying is this, that as we think about Jeremiah over the next number of weeks, Jeremiah was around when all of these kings were around. Jeremiah's reign as a prophet, if that's the right way to put it, was over a period of about 40 years. Zedekiah, you've all heard of the fall of Jerusalem. The exile, well, it all happened at Zedekiah's reign. And we all know about Daniel and his friends who were carried off into exile. Well, that's when it happened. And whenever Jeremiah was preaching the things that he was preaching, well, in the early years, Daniel probably wasn't even born. But at some stage, a little boy called Daniel was born who would grow up to be carried off. So that's another story. The scriptures tell us that Josiah was one of those kings who sought to do right in the eyes of the Lord. And it was during, this is really important, it was during the reign of King Josiah that they were doing work in the temple. They were excavating. I don't know exactly what they were doing. But they found something. They found the book of the law. They found a copy of the book of Deuteronomy. And whenever, and this again, I'm only passing on this, but whenever the king was given the book of Deuteronomy and was given a copy of it, and whenever it was read to him, he was so cut to the heart. He realized the people were not living in the right way, and a great reform started. Josiah's reform, and you can read about that in 2 Kings 22 and 23. A quick word on what was happening on the bigger picture. Another map which may help here. Again, you can see what we refer to as the Holy Land just in the middle there, Jerusalem. You've got Egypt down to the bottom. You've got Babylon away over today, modern-day Iraq. Up above it, you've got Assyria. You've got Nineveh. You remember a couple of months ago, the people who were stranded on Mount Nineveh. Do you remember that? I'm sure some of you remember that. And that was at the heart of the great Assyrian Empire. So what I'm saying is very simple, that whenever Jeremiah was preaching, there were some really big, big things happening in the world. Assyria, who had been a dominant force for well over 100 years, was beginning to crack at the seams. To the south, the great force of Babylon was rising. And away over to the west, Egypt saw itself always as a great force. So as somebody once put it, I think quite helpfully, the world of Jeremiah's youth was Assyrian. By the time he came to the end of his life, it was all Babylonian. So all in all, it was a situation of so much change. Internationally, everything was changing. Nationally, Josiah was trying to promote a reform and call people back to the Word of God, which I might add to you was being resented strongly by many people. You see, we don't always realize that. We tend to think everybody would comply and say, oh yeah, this is good, Josiah. But they didn't. They didn't like it. And into the midst of that, God called a youth, Jeremiah. So let me keep moving on here. Let me say something about the call. Look at what the passage tells us. It's a very famous text. The word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. You see, here's the thing, folks. There were all sorts of things going on in the world. There were all sorts of events going on in the world with the nations and the kingdoms and so on and so forth. But there was something else going on. God was at work. And God was at work in the life of a young lad in Anathoth, calling him to stand up and to proclaim the word of the Lord. And that is something that is always happening today in our world. There are all sorts of things happening in our world, things that would make us fearful and uncertain. But remember this, in the midst of all that is going on, there is something else going on. God is at work, calling and commissioning and challenging. And this call is rooted in the mysterious sovereignty of God. And the sovereignty of God is indeed a mysterious thing. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Who of us can understand that? None of us. Before you were born, I set you apart. And I appointed you to be a prophet. One of the great themes of the book of Jeremiah is the theme of the sovereignty of God over the nations and indeed over the peoples. And that is something that we within the Reformed community at least profess to hold dearly. We believe in a sovereign God. The Lord is King, we sometimes sing. Lift up your voice. And if we really believe that, it will really make a difference. Notice these phrases, and again, we can just comment on these. I knew you, I set you apart, and I appointed you. They're significant phrases. For example, that phrase, set apart. It's the same word that's often translated, consecrated. Take my life and let it be consecrate it, Lord, to thee. It's the very same word. And it underlines the central idea of separation unto God for a purpose determined by him. Or, for example, that phrase, appointed you. The literal sense is this, prophet to the nations I have given you to be. Prophet to the nations I have given you to be. As one of the writers, Christopher Wright, very helpfully in his very helpful commentary says, it's not so much that God gives a job to Jeremiah as that God gives Jeremiah to a job. God has a job for him to go and to proclaim his message. And the significant thing to note in all of these phrases is that the initiative is with God. Notice that. I knew you. I set you apart. I appointed you. And folks, that's a timely reminder for us today. Indeed, for all believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, called to be saints, called to be followers of Jesus. Yes, there's a model here for pastors and preachers and missionaries, but there's also a model here in this call for all called by sovereign grace, by faith in the Lord Jesus, to live for him. The call to be set apart. Are you set apart this morning? Do you hear that call? The call of the Lord Jesus? In the midst of the tumultuous things that are going on in the world, God calls you and God calls me to live a life that's different. The second thing, just moving on, that I want you to notice is something about the commission. And this really takes us through quite a number of these verses from 6 following. Have you ever felt your own weakness, folks? If I was to ask, hands up, whoever feels their own weakness, every hand should be up. Jeremiah was acutely aware of his weakness and his frailty. He says, verse 6, oh Lord, I don't know how to speak. I'm only a child. But the Lord tells him that he will go and he will speak. Notice what the text actually says. The Lord says, don't say I'm only a child. You must go to everyone I send you to and say whatever I command you. And you're not to be afraid. Do not be afraid. Did you know that the phrase, do not be afraid or do not fear, is the most frequent divine command in the scriptures? Fear is a very common thing. And it would be strange if there was not someone here this morning who is frightened and fearful of something or someone or some situation. And being a Christian does not immunize us from fear. What is the antidote to fear? Well, the antidote to fear, you remember the little verse, 1 John? Perfect love casts out fear. That's a good beginning. Perfect love casts out fear. And also the grace that Christ can give us to trust him and to obey him and not to be overcome by fear is by the grace of God. You can be paralyzed by fear. Your Christian life can be stulted by fear. So do not fear, for I am with you and will rescue you. You see, things are going to turn nasty for Jeremiah, very nasty. He's going to be ridiculed. He's going to be ostracized. He's going to be criticized. He's going to be threatened. He's going to be put in the stock. He's going to be thrown down a well to rot and die. And he's going to be put in prison. Who would want to be a preacher? You see, Jeremiah, things are going to turn real nasty for Jeremiah. Really nasty. And we'll see a sense of that next week and in the coming weeks. Verse 9, I have put my words into your mouth. The Lord reaches out his hand and touched my mouth. It makes us think of Jeremiah or of Isaiah, you remember? How the Lord took the coal and touched his lips and commissioned him. Now I have put my words in your mouth. There's something really important here that I do want you to notice. Jeremiah received not only a touch from the Lord, but he received a word from the Lord. And Jeremiah was going to preach this word, and many people were not going to listen to him. Many people, including many in the religious establishment, would say, "On your bike, Jeremiah, that's a lot of nonsense. We don't believe it." But it was a word from God. And Jeremiah said, "You're in trouble. The judgment of God is coming upon you. You need to turn back to the Lord." They wouldn't do it, and the judgment came. And the people were carried off into exile. Do you know who really believed Jeremiah at the end of the day? The people who were carried off into exile. Because they knew that Jeremiah was a man of God. They should have listened to him. Many a word can be spoken in the name of the Lord that is not true. And Jeremiah is full of that. Famous text from Jeremiah, the prophet's prophecy lies. And the people love it that way. People don't always welcome someone who's going to stand up and tell the truth. But here was a word from the Lord. And the book of Jeremiah is part of Holy Scripture. We subscribe to what is called the dual authorship of the Bible, and what we mean by that is that the mouth in this case was Jeremiah's, but the words were God's. Indeed, we could illustrate that. 2 Peter 1:21, "For prophecy never had its origin in the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit." And we need to get back to that, folks. Many, many people today sit very loosely to the Word of God, and even within the Church of Jesus Christ, we need to have a high view of the Word of God. Otherwise, anything goes. Take it from me, anything goes. If you're not convinced that the Bible is the Word of God, well, then you will go out and live any old way. But all Scripture is God-breathed, said the Apostle Paul. Verse 10, merits study. We're not going to focus on it today, but let me remind you what it says. "I appoint you over nations and kingdoms to uproot and tear down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant." It describes the scope and the outworking of Jeremiah's ministry. And then there follows a couple of interesting pictures. Again, just in passing, there's a picture of an almond branch. The Hebrew word for watching is really very, very similar to the Hebrew word for the almond branch. And so God is telling Jeremiah, "I'm watching. I'm not only watching you, but I'm watching what's going on." Is there someone here this morning and you need to be reminded of that God is watching? You may be doing and saying things that you think no one sees. But God is watching. God sees. God sees. "I am watching, Jeremiah." And then the picture of the boiling pot. Again, it's tilted from the north. Judgment is coming. The Babylonians are coming. And here's the extraordinary thing. God's hand is in that. Who can understand that? Who can understand how in the midst of the tumult of life, and in the midst of what's going on today in Syria and Iraq and Afghanistan, that over and above all of this, God is God? Who can understand that? But we believe it. And there is a tremendous comfort for us in that. But the third and final thing is this, the challenge. And in some ways, the challenge here is summarized in verse 17. Get yourself ready. Get yourself ready. It's literally, gird up your loins. That's not a phrase that we use today. But if somebody in the 7th century BC was going to gird up their loins, they were going to get ready to go out and do something. lest they trip over themselves. And in many ways we have here this wonderful message that the word has come to Jeremiah. What's he going to do with that word? Is he going to sit in the corner? No, he needs to get up and go out and begin to proclaim it. Jeremiah, you have a work to do. You have a battle to fight. It's an extraordinary command in these verses 17 through to 19, with strengthening promises that God's going to be with him. I'm going to make you into a fortified city. In other words, I'm going to strengthen you, Jeremiah. You're not capable of this, but I'm going to give you the grace. Folks, God's grace is always sufficient. And you might be sitting here this morning trembling about some situation or some challenge that God is putting upon your heart. And you might be literally trembling in your socks. And you need to hear the word of God that what the Lord calls you to do, he will equip you to do. And there's the promise here. And there's also that sense that even when things get tough, God's going to be with Jeremiah. I'm almost finished, but I need to say something really important here, I believe, because we can't just leave it there. In the New Testament, some people thought when they looked at Jesus, they thought he was Jeremiah. Matthew 16 tells us that. But he wasn't Jeremiah. Yes, he was a prophet, but he wasn't Jeremiah. He was the prophet. Deuteronomy 18 speaks of the great prophet who will come with the word of the Lord. And Jesus was that great prophet. And Jesus Christ ultimately is the prophet. You see, when we preach on a part of the Old Testament, when we preach on a prophet from the Old Testament, and if we were simply to do that and never mention Christ, the great prophet, we would have failed, and I would have failed in my preaching, I believe. Because all preaching must be centered on Christ. All preaching must be centered on the great prophet of God who has brought the word of God. And indeed, we're told in the New Testament that Jesus not only brought a word from God, he was the word. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God, and the word became flesh. So folks, here's the climax. Here's the culmination of Jeremiah chapter 1. A word came to Jeremiah, but in the gospel, a word has come to us. And you, many of you, most of you, all of you have heard that word week in and week out. And that word calls you. It commissions you. And it challenges you in the name of Jesus Christ, first of all, to submit to that word, to bow the knee to the living word of Christ, to the living, crucified, risen Christ, to bow the knee to him, and then to allow him to commission you and to challenge you with those words. Now, get ready. Go out there and do what I've called you to do. And you may not be called to go out like Jeremiah and do all the things that he was called to do, but you are called to go tomorrow on the farm, down at the harbour, in the classroom, in your home, in the shop, wherever, to live out Christ in a way that's really distinctive, that people can see the difference that the call of God makes. And all I can say as I finish is this. Have you heard that call? Have you really heard that call today to respond to Christ? And having heard it, have you responded to it? There's no use at the end of the day saying, Lord, I heard the call and I really meant to get round to make that response, but I never got round to it. Oh, what an awful, awful thing, unspeakably awful. You need to hear that call and you need to respond to that call. And then you need to hear the call of Christ to do what he will want you to do here in this community, here in Kilkeel or Mourne or wherever he calls you. It won't always be easy. Not everyone will run up and pat you on the back and say, wonderful, terrific. Things might even get nasty for you at times because of the gospel. But God's grace is a wonderful thing and he will equip. praise his name. Let's bow together just for a short prayer, and then we're going to conclude with our final hymn. Lord, we pray today that as we hear this call to Jeremiah, and as the word comes to him, Lord, may the word come to us, and may we respond in repentance and faith, and hear that commissioning challenge to get yourself ready and go out and be my disciple. Lord, help us in these things, for Jesus' sake. Amen.